Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett and I'll be your host for the next 60 minutes. This is another in our News in Review series. This week we'll be looking at the recent events in both the Kaylee Anthony and Hayley Cummings case. Joining me in the studio is my lovely wife, Jan, who has been following both cases like a bloodhound. Hi, Jan.
Hi, everyone.
From the wilds of Oregon, Ms. Pickles. Good afternoon, Pickles.
Hey.
And from Sin City, Nevada, crime writer, author, and broadcaster, Denny Griffin. Hi, Denny.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody.
Good to have you on board. Alas, Sean Krause can't be with us this afternoon. He is undergoing treatment. Sean, if you are listening, though, we do send our hopes for a speedy recovery. The show just isn't quite the same without your colorful comments. Pickles also told me earlier this week that we have a number of listeners from the Orlando area, specifically from WFTV. So a big hello from all of us here at Blogger News, and I do hope that some of you will be calling in this afternoon with your questions and comments. On that subject, our switchboard is open. The number to call is area code 646-378-1120. And please hold on the line. We will get to you as soon as we possibly can. Okay, let's get down to business. Let's start with Kaylee Anthony. There was a whole slew of new evidence released last week. Jan, what's the scoop? What was in these new documents?
I wouldn't expect it to come to me first. My mind just totally went blank.
Okay, let's start with the duct tape.
Oh, well, they did say that there was no fingerprints on the duct tape, but they saying that it does possibly pretty much so match with the duct tape that they found on the gas can that was in George Anthony's shed. Is that in the backyard that they did take in as evidence. So that is one good thing about what's going on. I mean, they do have that much against her.
However, the FBI report was somewhat inconclusive. At least they seemed to give themselves some wriggle room. I can't remember the exact wording, but it was the two samples of duct tape, the one found on the skull and the one found on the can, appeared to either come from the same roll or the same batch, but they didn't specifically say the same roll.
They said it was chemically the same, the
right.
Same everything.
Same brand,
all of it.
The same markings mm-hmm. on the tape.
Chemicals.
Right,
everything.
All that kind of stuff. But that would be kind of hard to prove that it was coming from the exact same, unless the tears was like the piece on the on the gas can came directly before the piece that was torn that was on the skull. You know, that would be the only way that they would really directly be able to compare it as positively.
Mm-hmm.
But it matches. I mean, they do have different brands, and it does match this, you
mm-hmm.
know, the same brand that was on the can. So it's definitely a tie-in with it.
Oh, I think it's important evidence.
Right.
It just doesn't seem to be quite the smoking gun that it might have been.
Well, I think it's a big case. I mean, piece of evidence.
Denny, what's your thoughts?
My thoughts are it was not a particularly good week for the defense because
right.
I didn't see or hear anything in this the new document dump that was exculpatory. For example, everything, like the trash bags and the Winnie the Pooh blanket, everything was tied in to the Anthony home. It didn't exclude the Anthony home. So I think that was bad news for the defense. And the thing that I thought could have been, as far as Casey's state of mind at the time, would have been the diary.
Oh, yes.
There was an entry from June 21, supposedly, that she said that she had made the right decision and she hadn't been so happy in her life and blah, blah, blah. And that would have been, if it was a 2008 entry, 5 days after her daughter was last seen, supposedly, and when she was very distraught and conducting her own investigation, trying to find Zannie and Kaylee. And then Baez, I guess, said, oh, that's all garbage. That entry was from 2003 before Kaylee was ever born. So I'm not sure if it was a 2008 entry and it can be proved. And I imagine should there's some kind of testing that could be done on the ink or something.
Well,
not only that,
but there was a lot of pages torn out between that entry where she has 2003 and the words, I forgot, per diem or whatever it was that she had on the previous page.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of pages torn out between those two entries, too. I mean,
she's sly.
Yeah, they've done this on purpose.
She knew.
Probably what happened was whenever they finally reported it, they probably went back and was covering up her tracks and stuff. And they probably tore it all up and burned it or something. So that way it
can never
be found.
I actually happen to have the exact quotes right in front of me here. And this is what she said. This is the happiest I have been in a very long time. I hope that my happiness will continue to grow. She also wrote that she had no regrets, just a bit worried. I just want for everything to work out okay. I completely trust my own judgment and knew that I made the right decision. I just hope that the end justifies the means. I just want to know what the future will hold for me. I guess I will soon see.
Yeah, she'll soon see, all right.
No, she's just immature. I mean, I think what she did is she had to tell somebody. She had to write it down somewhere. Just like when you're a teenager and, oh, my God, I got a crush, blah, 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 get my little diary. And she knew, I'll write it in this old journal, and it says this, and then nobody's going to guess it, you know. She thinks she's so smart. I think that she knew that journal, that she had it, and I think that she just had to write it down, had to tell somebody.
Do you folks share my opinion that if they can legally prove that this was a 2008 entry, June of 2008, June 21st, that would be very damaging to her?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yes.
That is the smoking gun.
I think it would be ironic if her own words, her own written words, proved to be
the
tipping point.
In her own right, exactly. That's like an admission right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it would be very damaging. I'd like to see how they would get out of it. I mean, they seem to have an answer for everything, that, like junk science, you know what I mean?
These lawyers, not just Baez and his people there, but in general, these defense lawyers, a lot of times are like contortionists. I mean, they can wiggle and squirm,
and what you see isn't
real. And
if he can't do it, he'd get somebody else on his team that can do it.
Yes.
He seems to keep building the team up because he needs new people to come up with ideas for him, is what it is, I say.
Almost like some of these lawyers really should have Vegas acts.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, they'd be right at home on the strip somewhere, I guess.
Okay. Once again, folks, our switchboard is open. The number to call into is area code 646-378-1120, and we would love to hear from you. The other interesting thing that happened this week with the evidence that was released is this videotape showing Casey's reaction when it was announced that remains had been found. Now, they were not announcing that it was Kaylee's remains, just remains.
Of a child. They said a child's skull, I believe, is what they said. And she just went, she lost it. I mean, even
doubled over
medication.
And hyperventilated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me, she didn't, like he said, they hadn't even said that it was Kaylee. And she went and started hyperventilating and requested medication and everything. But how come she didn't do this before whenever anything else was found? She kept with remarks like, oh, well, they didn't even find her clothes yet and walk out the room or something to the, you know, anything sarcastic. Like she could care less. But this, I think this one scared her because she knew. I mean, that, there's no other way that you can look at it. She knew what they had found.
What about the ongoing story of P.I. Dominic Casey? I mean, he seems to have just about as many stories as Casey Anthony does.
I don't give him much credibility.
In fact, I'm waiting for him to say that Zanny told him to go look there.
Yeah, that's good.
Sounds like everyone else has.
I don't believe it was anybody but Cindy Anthony.
So, anyone got any theories on Dominic?
I think it was Cindy that sent him. I mean, there's just no doubt in my mind that there was, I don't believe the psychic story to begin with. I mean, during the interview with the investigator, he said that first he said that he kept changing his story whenever he was being, giving his statements. And I just don't believe him. I think he has about as much credibility as Cindy Anthony does, which in my book is zero.
Okay, so we've pretty much put Dominic in his place, in his trash can.
That's exactly how I feel. I mean, I could be wrong, but I really do believe that he lied under oath, and I think every one of them that's lied should pay for this. I mean, with some kind of something, they shouldn't get away with it.
It will be interesting to see if the if law enforcement actually goes after any other people for, you know, not as part of the Casey murder trial per se, but for their voluntary involvement after the event.
Yeah, well, they should be, I think. I think every one of them should have to pay for their for their actions.
Maybe that's why they need so much time.
To prepare for that. That's why I say that's why they were trying with this secret meeting with Casey in the jailhouse,
mm-hmm.
because that way they could get their stories together to see what they're going to say for this and that, say for that, to make sure they can get it all together and get it straight.
While the case itself is obviously a very, very serious business, there are undoubtedly aspects of humor that creep in. And one of the things that amused me this week is the story of the dueling PR firms for the defense. Who is actually representing Mr. Baez?
Representing him?
Well, the whole defense team. There was a story floating around that Todd Black and his organization is actually still on someone's payroll.
Yeah, that is a little bit confusing there. They're denying it, of course, but they're saying that they're, I don't really know, I don't understand what the deal is with that, but he's denying that they are at all affiliated at all with him anymore, have anything to do with him at all. But the PR company is saying that they are still working with him. So I don't know who's who.
I work a lot with PR companies, and I've never known one that does anything for free. So, I mean, someone must be picking up the tab.
Yeah, the taxpayers are.
Right. That should be a hard invoice to collect on.
You're selling pictures of Kaylee. That's what they're paying for. It is unpublished that nobody's seen pictures of Kaylee. And Sean said when he was on last week, he was selling pictures of herself, too.
The other thing that happened, actually, it happened last weekend, although it didn't hit the news till Monday or Tuesday. Jose Baez ended up in hospital.
I'm sorry, I had to laugh.
Giving
him an ulcer, I guess.
Well, heck yeah, it's giving him an ulcer. I mean, Christ, you probably got an STD from it here.
I don't know. If any kind of dealings with this case would make anybody's stomach hurt.
God.
I just thought it was a joke. I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh at anybody being sick. But,
well, you know, they didn't go up and see her for 10 days after, like, after they got that was
documented. Yeah, I didn't understand that.
Had to huddle up. They had to, their little team had to get together and come up with every little excuse. Well, this is the duct tape, this is the diary, and make their lies from it. And then they probably went in there and told her, hey, listen here. You know?
Well, I think it's his fault that she hasn't made a deal with him anyway. I think
he's
the one that's held her back because I think he wants to keep his name and her name in the spotlight as long as they can. If they don't go to trial, they out. You know, if she makes a plea with him, that's the end of story. And they're not ready for this to end yet. They haven't had enough publicity over it yet. So I think that has a lot to do with why she's still where she's at right now.
Okay, folks, once again, our switchboard is open. We would love to hear from you. Our number to dial in is area code 646-378-1120.
Simon.
So let's move on to the other case that is making headline news right at the moment, the Hayley Cummings story. This seems very, very convoluted. Denny, what's your thoughts on the happenings of the past few days?
Okay, I want to address that, but there's just one thing. I need to go back, if I can, for just a second to Kayla.
Certainly.
And a couple of the last points you raised. One about the spokespeople or who's representing who and so on. I got to say, just this is my opinion, I wouldn't believe anybody involved with that defense team or the family or Casey. If they told me today was Sunday, I'd have to check my calendar. So,
me too.
As far as who's on the payroll, who isn't, who's pro bono, I don't believe any of them. The other thing we talked about, would everybody be held accountable, you know, if there's been any chicanery going on the part of the family or others besides Casey. I really think that with the emotions involved in the public over this case, if law enforcement has any of these people dead to rights, clearly either conspirators or committed perjury or that type of thing, aiding and abetting, I think they would be hard-pressed to give anybody a pass. I think the public will demand that people be held accountable if they got them.
Oh, I'm in agreement with you. Actually, before we move on to Hayley, let me bring on a caller. Coming in from the 613 area code, what's your name and what's your question for us? Hello,
hello. Is that me?
Yes, that's you.
Oh, that's me. Usually, last time it was on, it was the 111 area code. This is a Beast again from Canada.
Hi,
Beast. Hello, Beast.
I I wasn't going to get into any theories today because we do so much of that every day. But a couple of people have brought up the subject of microchips for children. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that and why that's not more widely publicized or talked about.
I haven't heard anything about it other than what I read your comments on. But, you know, I mean, it might, you never know. It could possibly be a good idea.
Well, there is a company in the United States right now that does it for $200, and then the monitoring is $9.95 a month. And we are going to look into it here in Canada and have our two little girls done. And I just think that with the amount of abductions and things that are going on, that you hear about something almost new every week, that somebody or, you know, doesn't actually stand up and say, look, you know, this is out of hand. You know, if you've got any children, this, you know, it should be happening right away.
Aren't these chips of the passive nature, like you can only read them if you're close to a reader?
They are ones like that, but they also have the ones with the GPS technology that can be read by satellite too.
Oh, really?
There's two different kinds. They have the ones that have the medical information that can be tracked by GPS as well, and then they have the other ones that are just GPS locators, like something like what the they do for dogs and animals. They already have microchips for them too. You know, I mean, if we can put them in our dogs, I mean, why the heck aren't we doing it for our children?
Well, we often treat our dogs better than we treat our children.
Yes, yeah, it's
true. It is something to think about. I mean, it seems like it would work, you know, especially
mm-hmm.
like you said, in this day and time, you worry about your kids, you can't even, I can remember whenever I was little, when we'd go to the store, back then they didn't have Walmart, but they had like Kmart or one of those grocery, you know, department stores. I mean, we would go our way, and my mom and my dad would go the other way, and
mm-hmm.
we'd meet back up at the front of the registers when
mm-hmm.
you know, after so long. But you can't do that these days because
no.
people want to grab your children. You've got to keep your eye on them all the time, and it is.
And the microchip might not have saved Kaylee because I don't know how quickly the end happened there, but certainly in a case like Kaylee, and other children that they know that they're missing right away.
Right.
It would just take a phone call to the police, and boom, they'd know where they are immediately.
Right.
You know, and that's going to save lives. So I don't think there's any question about that at all.
That really is, and you said it's about $200 per chip?
Yeah, you can look it up online. I believe the company, I don't remember exactly where it is in the U.S., but I found it very easily just searching on Google.
I mean, that is really a good investment. I mean, it's very cheap.
Yeah.
Your
child worth $200? Yeah.
Life, you know, so.
Anyway, that's just my comment for today. Great show. Thanks for putting it on. And
thanks for
calling.
Yeah, have a great week. We have another caller on the line. Someone coming in from the 251 area code. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hi, this is Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hey. I had a question about the cell phone things. Maybe they could come up with something that the sex offenders could wear that would keep up with them.
That's an interesting concept.
There's a click in the sound that I didn't get to hear at all.
Yeah, there's something funky with the line here. Let me try and repeat that. What Linda is saying is maybe using the cell phone technology, there is a way that these sex offenders, who are always number one suspects, could be tracked on an ongoing basis.
I don't know. How would that, I mean, what would you do, require them to have a cell phone?
Well, they tracked Casey with the cell phone pings, remember?
Right. Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
looks like they could come up with something maybe that these sex offenders could wear and maybe in a high traffic area where there are a lot of them, and if they were tracked and someone called in and said their child was gone, I mean, they could immediately track them instead of having to go to their houses and go all over to all of them and question them.
Yeah,
it would
that's
take
what
a lot of time.
Maybe they could put one of the microchips
in
right in the sex offenders and have it registered under some, you know, to their names. And if they're in that area, they could just punch it into the computer and find them right away.
Right,
that
because
be
the way they're
idea.
Doing it now is they're having to go around to all of them's homes and check and talk with them. And if they had some kind of technology like this, I mean, they could be right on their heels.
Right, that's a good idea. I hope somebody's listening.
Yeah, all you law enforcement mavens, you know, looking for tips.
Or the microchip company.
Right. I mean, if I knew how to do it, I would do it. But I was just thinking, you know, that they tracked Casey and what she did. Why couldn't they come up with something like this to track the sex offenders?
That's true.
That's a great idea. Linda, I'm going to have to drop you off the line here. I think there's some fault on your telephone, which is just driving our switchboard crazy here with clicks and ticks. But
I might have left the other phone on. I'll check it.
Okay.
Well, we thank you for calling.
All right.
Okay. Let's move on to the other hot case. Haley. Denny, you were about to give me your thoughts on what's been going on for the past little while.
Yes, I'm, you know, in addition to Haley and Kaylee sounding similar, I think there's a lot of difference. Some people initially were comparing the two cases, and I haven't really found, you didn't have that 31 or 32 day gap in reporting.
Right.
There apparently might have been a half hour or something there, but you know, and you didn't have the Cummings people, him or his girlfriend, taking the cops on a wild goose chases like Casey did. But as far as believability and credibility, and I saw this morning there was, I believe in the Fox News website, there was apparently Mr. Cummings being accused by his ex-wife's family or friends or something that he had beaten or hit Haley in the past, and he's denying that. And
his ex-wife.
Pardon me?
And his ex-wife.
Yeah, yeah, and threatening legal action against them for making the comments and so on. But, you know, and another thing people have indicated in different chat rooms and so forth that I checked, that they don't feel, because of their social position on the social ladder, that the Cummings family is getting the attention that Kaylee did. Well, I think there are some reasons for that. As of this moment, the situation isn't quite as bizarre, you know, with the big gap in reporting and so forth. And they've also said, some people, that perhaps because they aren't as well-spoken as the Anthony family, that there's some discrimination. I don't know if any of you have seen those comments or heard them.
There has been comments that says, like, that they're being treated different because they were lower income and that people are ridiculing them because of that, if that's what you're talking about, which I think is ridiculous because I don't think it has anything to do with it.
No,
because
I don't.
They are family that has a missing child, no matter whether you've got all the money in the world or none.
And
you should still be treated the same.
Absolutely. And the comments that were made, well, first of all, the caller from Canada about chips, you know, to track children, and Linda's comments, during the week they arrested a sex offender, registered sex offender, that lived near the Cummings home. Apparently, and they arrested him, not anything to do with her, at least directly, with Haley's disappearance. But they said his tracking device that he has to wear showed that he was out of his zone or out of his area.
He might have an ankle bracelet.
And I'm just wondering, when that was discussed on Nancy Grace this week after this guy was arrested, she was adamant that authorities tend not to arrest and actually book or put in jail immediately these guys for that type of violation. Yet they arrested him, so she felt there was more to it than just that he was out of his zone. But I was just wondering, after talking about the chips and some type of a cell phone type deal to track the sex offenders, if these guys are out of their territory that they're legally authorized to be in or have to remain in, what would be the matter with picking them up? To question them, why were you over in, you know, where you're not supposed to be? Were you scouting the area?
Well, I think
they should
be. Yeah. So I think they should be questioned for it.
If they get
a
free pass.
Well, it's a violation of their contracts.
Absolutely.
Right. They put under these rules for a reason, not to break them.
The big problem, though, is the money god. I was reading an article this week, I think it was this week anyway. California is contemplating fixing its prison overcrowding system by letting 50,000 convicts out.
Oh, yeah. I live right next door to California.
I mean, what a great solution. All right, you know, these people have done bad things. A judge has, you know, deemed that they need to do penance, shall we say. And just at a, you know, swipe of a pen, now we're going to let 50,000 of them out to
cut them loose.
Well, that's
there's a lot of things that the law does that I don't understand. I mean, I know a man that was convicted years ago for murdering two law enforcement officers, ambushed them and killed them in cold blood, was found guilty, and he went to prison, was supposed to be the life he had the death penalty. Then that was overturned, and he was given life in prison. Now the man's walking on the streets because he got out for credit time served or good behavior. One, I forget what they call it, like he got one day for every 2 days he was in there or something, credited or something to that effect. And the man is walking free now.
Actually, I know a little bit about this story. Jen doesn't want to get into it, I don't think. It's actually one of the people involved is a family member. But, yeah. Okay.
One of the murdered cops.
Yes.
But it's still, I mean, these kind of people, they get away with all this. And like I said, there's a reason they're put there to begin with. These people, there's a reason that they have to, they have these rules to stay in this certain area. Why are they, I mean, why wouldn't, like you said, why shouldn't they be arrested if they break these rules? That's the purpose of it.
The fastest way to get Jen's attention is just say the name Katie Couric.
Yeah, she called this man an American hero because he beat the system. On the Today Show, she literally told him he was an American hero. Asked him how did it feel to be an American hero because he beat the Americans, the system. And
Katie Couric's a donk.
Well, to me, I almost went through the television set when I heard it, and because, like Simon said, it was a relative of mine that this man killed, and it just blew me away. And
even worse, Jen was interviewed, and they hacked the interview to pieces.
To show the man's side instead of our side, yeah. That was on the... I forgot what the show it was, one of the Nightline, Ted Koppel's show. And they came to my house and interviewed me for that. But still, like I said, you see the system, you don't know, you wonder sometimes if it's good or if it's bad or whatever. But and this is what another thing that bothers me when they break the rules. This is what the rules are for. This is just like, I mean, There's a reason for it, and they shouldn't be broken. And if you break it, you've got to pay for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Do the crime.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, we have another caller on the line. Someone coming in from 734. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hi, it's Pammy Lowe's.
Hi, Pammy.
Hi.
I have a comment and a question. Well, two questions, because I was trying to hear the part earlier. I think it was Beef. That, was he saying that they have in his country, Canada, a way to track children? Like
he
a
said
chip
they're
track?
Starting it. I believe he said that they were starting to do it.
Yeah, actually, it's a U.S.-based system.
Really?
Yeah, they are starting.
I think that's a wonderful idea. A wonderful idea.
Actually,
and they should make
too.
It available for free to anyone. That
well,
should
that's
be something that's
too.
Just.
The government
yeah.
should pick up the price. If they're going to pick up the cost of, like, somebody like Casey Anthony's trial, which, you know, I mean, it just really irritates me to see taxpayers have to pay for this kind of stuff. They should.
Because it's just happening to so many children, and I mean, why not be able to track it quickly before they find the
right.
children?
If it's only
going to
cost $100 per child,
mm-hmm.
I mean, let the government fork that money out. In the long run, just think of the money they'll save.
And I would even pay for it, though, for my child.
Well,
I would too.
$100 per child, exactly. But
yeah,
then I think would be a great idea too.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I see is that the civil liberties folks would be on that so fast, because it's one thing, you know, tracking a missing 2-year-old, but is this Big Brother if the chip still works when you're in your 20s, your 30s?
I'm a believer that somebody's always watching, you know, but I do. I think we have a technology now that, you know, I mean, even places, it shocks me sometimes, like when a child is missing, where they'll say that some gas station had a video camera mm-hmm. right on the pump, you know, and so we're being watched all the time anyway, you know, but I just think with children, that would be like something they could put on them, you know, to and from school or, I don't know. I think it's a good idea.
I do, too. I would be for it. I would vote for it. And, I mean,
and then,
go ahead.
Yeah. Well, and then my question is I just briefly saw today on the blog, somebody said something about a Geraldo interview.
Yes.
I didn't see it or hear what happened exactly with that.
Well, Mr. Geraldo managed to create quite a kerfuffle at the camp where the people are living. Basically, as I understand it, cops were called, and Geraldo was issued a trespass warning, although he refused to sign it.
Mm. Pammy, I'm going to put a link in the blog on BNN for you to read the transcript of it if you want.
Okay, and that's what he said to Ronald Cummings? Was he interviewing
well,
him?
Yes.
What he did is he went and got a bunch of dirt on Ron from Crystal
right.
about their past, the domestic violence and drugs, and Geraldo went over there and just bombarded. I didn't see it either, but from what I understand is he bombarded Ronald with it, Ron, and Ron got pissed because, you know, it's not about Ron's past or, you know, everything, but I guess Geraldo was just a total douchebag.
Well, I read.
And
those.
He's not usually. I don't. You know, he's funny because sometimes he's. I don't know about him. He's too soft on certain things, and then something like
he's
that denied. That's kind of a little insensitive. I mean, to grill somebody on an interview. You know what I mean?
He blows hot and cold. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go back to Denny's comment. About how this is a family from a different social strata. And this was Geraldo doing National Enquirer interviews.
Mm-hmm.
I read part of the transcript, and he was just damn rude.
Right, and I don't even know why the social part of their, whatever way they're living, should have no basis whatsoever for the child being looked for. It maybe, the, you know, tying it into, are they suspicious because they're from a lower, you know, that's not, doesn't even register with me when I'm listening, because I just want the child found no matter what. I don't care if they're rich, they're poor.
Exactly.
Don't care, and it's, so much has been said about that, you know.
Well, it doesn't, it shouldn't matter what kind of, what their history is or anything. Even if they're drug users, it doesn't matter. If that's, as long as the child's found, you know, then
right.
they can deal with the past of what the problems the family has. Find this baby, you know. I mean, she's the one that should be thought about instead of whether or not he hit his ex-wife or if he uses any kind of drugs or whatever. It doesn't really matter. Just find this baby right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, folks, we do have some open lines on our switchboard. Actually, we have lots today. And if you want to drop in and say hello and give us your comments and questions, we would love to hear them. The number to call is area code 646-378-1120. So get those digits on the buttons of your telephone. So, Denny, what was
yep.
did you have an opportunity to listen or read to the transcript of the Geraldo interview?
No, I didn't. I saw the an announcement on the Fox site, and I didn't actually read the whole thing. I just read the headline.
Ah.
But I heard you saying about Geraldo blowing hot and cold and so forth. I remember several of interviews he's done over the years where I've detected that, where he's he goes for the juggler on some occasions, and other occasions they almost seem softball. And,
mm-hmm. Right.
You
and you remember he did, wasn't he the one that did Charles Manson too? Well, you know,
yes.
All those years ago.
Yes. And he really had it in for O.J. back in the 94 initial trial. I remember he was...
and I'm Nancy Grace. I love Nancy Grace, but since she's had her own show, she doesn't let the people finish speaking, and it kind of gets on my nerves a little bit because she doesn't let them finish. So it's kind of like a one conversation thing. It's like just talking to yourself and then answering yourself, and it's like at least let the people finish. You know, I've noticed it more on her own show now than I used to see her when she anchored on Court TV.
Actually,
so,
the Nancy Grace-ette, the one on before...
Jane Velez Mitchell.
Yeah, I mean, comes right out of the same mold. You know, there are people she likes, people she doesn't like. And same with Nancy. If you're a prosecutor, you can talk on Nancy. If you're a defender, you don't stand a chance.
Did you guys hear what Junior told Crystal?
Yes.
Junior told Crystal that a man dressed in all black came in the
right.
house and took Kaylee. And as soon as he told her that, Crystal told the authorities, and the authorities brought in child specialists that deal with children or that specialize in it. So, you know... And, you know, I don't think that their income, their drug use, their criminal history has anything to do with Haley's disappearance. But you know what? If there is anything that does have to do with her disappearance, they need to just, you know, spit it out and say, hey, I messed
You're
up.
Right.
I got involved with this person. And you know what? I was going to trade a gun for some dope, and I didn't want the gun. They took my kid, whatever. But they
exactly.
need, anything to do with it, they need to fess up and say, I screwed up.
Right.
And, you know, this is what happened. This is, I don't know the guy very well because, you know, he's a dope dealer, but, you know, they need to just, this. If it has anything to do with it, they need to just say it, you know.
Go ahead and get it out.
But it's
I mean,
been so many days now, I just wonder, you know, where in the heck is she? Is she, you know, my heart's breaking.
to me, it seems like there's something shady going on because, you know, there's rumor of a gun, and the police find a gun. You know, there's rumor of this and that, and there's just something not being said by Misty and maybe Ron. Sometimes it looks like he's even holding back. And, you know,
Has anything to do with it. I go both ways on that, but I think he's in the dark about anything that was going on. That's my feeling.
The father, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think he's in the dark, maybe at work a lot. Kind of maybe the type that's
I'm having a hard time finding that he's in on anything. Even, I don't care what his past is. It's just to me.
Exactly.
I just don't think that he's involved with this as far as her being missing.
And even the girlfriend, I really don't think, you know, she seems legit that she doesn't know what happened, but
I'm not as positive about her. I mean, I don't really know, but I mean, for him, I just find it very hard to believe that he would be.
Well, he misses his daughter. You can see that it's just absolutely cutting his heart out.
Yes, it is.
And also,
you stop and think about this too when you compare the two families. I mean, I don't really want to do it, but you compare the Anthony's case to this one. I mean, these people are literally sleeping in tents out in the yard. I mean, and they're having to put in little kerosene heaters for at night when it's cold, and because they're determined they're not going to leave until this little girl comes home. I mean, they're not sitting there waiting on handouts or to be held up at the Ritz-Carlton hotel while they're waiting for this baby to come home. They're staying right there. You know,
I don't think it's helpful for them to be, for, you know, Crystal to be saying, like, exactly everything that she told her mother. Like, how is that helping, you know, that
I don't understand.
He said, she said,
and I think it's just distracting from the investigation.
Well, you know what's weird about it is they've been attacking Ron and Misty since the beginning.
Right.
And that's kind of strange because Ron and Misty have not said anything ill toward them at all. And you know what? That's kind of weird because it's usually a person who's guilty of something is going to be the first one to say, no, it's them.
Well, and then again, it could be because of the custody battle that they've still got hard feelings for. I mean, there's a lot of reasons that could be done. And if it was me and my ex-husband, I mean, I would probably want to go attack him, blaming him too, especially if he's got a 17-year-old girlfriend that he's living with. I'd be right there jumping. I mean, I would be jumping right there too, thinking this 17-year-old girl's trying to be mother to my kids. You know, I mean, in my mind, I may not mean everything I say, but I would still attack him, thinking that this is going to bring my child back.
And then even the Ronald made the comment on the 911 call and said, you know, what did you let happen to my children? And I don't think that's just nothing but duress. It's just something you say when you're under duress. I don't think it has any suspicious thing like towards I just think he said it because he was just freaking out.
Opinion of it too. I feel that way too. I don't really know if any of the direct family members. I mean, I would lean more towards Misty's cousin than any of the parents or even her, for that matter.
Okay, let's bring on another caller. Someone coming in from 251. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hey, this is Linda again. Is my phone okay now?
It's not clicking, so that's a good thing.
Okay.
Welcome back.
Well, that was my question, is why has it taken them so long to tell the police about Joe?
Oh, about the cousin. I don't know. I don't understand that either.
That's why I was thinking he's not going to be the one either, because I just think they're really going into they're really getting everybody, is there anybody? Is there somebody? And then they're just trying to think of who. Who could it be? Maybe it's just not even him. You know?
There was a sighting of someone who looked like the little girl in Tennessee in a red... Yes.
Why would that guy parade her around, though? I mean, there's been an Amber Alert. I just...
Well, they said
he
was shielding her face.
Trying to shield her face.
Yeah, they said he was shielding her face, but there's no telling.
They ate at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Why would he be in Florida and then all of a sudden he's in Tennessee? And the little girl, they say, came up missing about the same time.
Right.
It's a lot of questions on it. It makes it a mystery on it as to who could have went. To begin with, I don't see how anybody could sneak into the room and grab this little girl and walk out without being heard. I just don't
right,
know.
And the door being propped open totally flips me out. I just can't foresee somebody having the gall to first come into somebody's home and take the child, and then propping the door open and going and leaving the light on in risk of being... There's something not right about that.
Exactly.
I mean,
they came in... If they came in, the front door was unlocked, then all they would have to do is unlock the back door and prop the door open. But my other question was, why did they take the girl and not the boy?
Maybe it was some obsessed sexual offender who was obsessed with Haley. I mean, it happened all the time.
I'd say
like,
that it's not.
Either that or they planned to come back for the little boy. But I mean, that's a part. Maybe that's why they propped the screen door open. I don't know. I mean, it's a possibility, but there's, different ways you can look at it. Maybe they got scared and decided just to go with the one. Or
I'm just wondering maybe if they were into drugs and child pornography, then maybe they thought they could make their money back on the little girl.
That's possible, very possible.
I'm not even thinking it's anything as sinister as, like, or a plot or anything, to do with drugs. I'm hoping it's something to do with the custody, or they've hidden the child, or something to do like that.
Well, what's bizarre is, when they were interviewing Crystal and her mother there a week ago, and the interviewer guy says, "Well, Crystal, what do you think happened to Haley?" And she stopped and she looked her mother. They looked at each other dead in the eyes.
Who is Crystal? Which one is Crystal?
The mother, the biological
mother,
mom.
The little girl.
And they looked each other in the eyes. Like Crystal, like looked at her mom, and her mom looked at her, and there was a weird silence between the two of those women. Like they are definitely up to something, because that silence right there. And it almost looked like the
mother. Or they know something. That could
mean
the same. They know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it looked like the mother squeezed her hand, and then Crystal gets out of her mom's gaze, like tractor beam eyes stare, and then kind of like says, I don't know. But they stopped and they stared at each other for like a good 30 seconds, like, and right then and there I thought, hey.
Yeah, but that's
unless they just don't want to. They don't want to say what they're really thinking.
I mean,
maybe they were
caught off guard with the question on the spot, like I was when Simon first caught me on this show. I mean, it was like my mind just, I mean, I've been following this case, and I know I've read documents on top of documents, and when he asked me that question, my mind just went totally blank. And, I mean, that's a possibility, too, because, I mean.
It is.
Myself, I just went through that, so, I mean, it wasn't exactly, incriminating
if
question
that was
or
the
anything.
Case,
but
why didn't they take both of them?
Right.
Can I
well,
ask
that's
question,
a good
Simon?
Question, though. That's, like I said, I mean, it could be that they planned to come back for the little boy and change their mind, thinking it was too big of a risk. Maybe Chris and Misty turned over in her bed or something, and they got nervous or something. They might have been afraid she'd wake up or something once they heard or seen her move or something. I don't know.
And then you wonder, it's like she was only a 17-year-old girl. You wonder what kind of killer or attacker or kidnapper or whatever you want to call the person would be afraid of her, because if he's going to be that galling to come in and get the child, why would he be afraid of a 17-year-old? What is she going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got a good point there.
Yeah, I mean, he could overtake her, he or she or whatever. Being so young.
Yeah.
Actually, one of the things that I've noticed is not so much what the cops are saying, but what the cops aren't saying.
Mm-hmm.
They are saying that everyone is a potential suspect, but they do seem to be really, really interested in the girlfriend. You know,
they called her in for more questioning, and there's, I don't know. But like you said,
it's a mystery.
It's a big mystery. So.
Simon.
Yes.
Can I ask a question here, see what you folks think? I realize that so it appears, I mean, there's not a lot of money or income involved with the Cumminses and the other members of the family, so on. But I'm surprised to some degree that there hasn't been so far a lawyer seeking some free publicity or a PR-type person inserting themselves into the case. And it was almost all these, it seems like after two or three days, everybody involved is lawyered up or has a spokesman.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now maybe they've been approached and turned it down. I don't know. I just haven't heard anything about it. I'm a little surprised. It's been going on 2 weeks now and there's not a lawyer or
maybe they don't feel need for one.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's encouraging because it
exactly.
is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It makes me suspicious when these people are lawyered up, you know, within 48
yeah,
hours.
Before they're even being a suspect, you know, if they're not even
yep.
a suspect, what do you need a lawyer for?
Yep. Lawyers have... The PR firms and the PR firms have some other PR firm involved.
It is just so sad. I mean, I just every week there's another child and a new, you know, and then you wonder about like copycat things, you know, are they because the media, because there's so much coverage on it, you know, that when these things happen, I don't know.
Denny, you sent me a very interesting link earlier this morning. Have you had a chance to read that website?
I went through quite a bit, not in great detail, but I read the points that the person made.
Okay, now, here's the scoop on this one. Not everyone thinks that the family is innocent. And Denny sent me a link from a site that definitely has an opposing view, and it was interesting. I'm not sure I agreed with some of the comments. Denny, tell us about it.
Well, the blogger, do you want me to mention the site name or no?
Sure, if you want.
It's Eyes for Lies. The site and the post about the Cummings case, the writer indicates, I think it was 12 points that he or she has problems with regarding the Cumminses, and refers frequently to the various interviews that Mr. Cummings and Misty, the girlfriend, and have given on various news outlets, and analyzes their behavior. And the impression that the writer comes away with is that he's very legitimately emotional at certain points, but then there are other points where he turns a little bit, she cited or he cited, whoever the writer is, an example that he was on the floor sobbing or falling to the ground or something sobbing during one of the interviews, and then suddenly a question was asked and his voice came up completely unemotional when he answered the question, and the writer thinks that most people don't go from uncontrolled sobbing to total control in a matter of a second.
Well,
some suspicion that there was something phony about it.
Yeah, it'd be dependent on what you asked. Like if I'm crying and somebody asks me a question involving it and that's going to add, I can come up really quick with a straight face
mm-hmm.
and answer it in a different tone of voice, so to speak. I know I can do it and be seriously crying. And then, I mean, just at a snap of a finger, I can stop the tears and come back with a good answer. If, you know, with a lot of things, as a matter of fact,
yeah,
I have
like,
throughout my life.
Like like Simon says, I'm not sure that I agree with any or all of the opinion.
There was another opinion. Go ahead.
But I guess what it is, it, I would classify them as points to ponder. I mean, there's something you can look at it and, you know, decide whether there's any merit to it or not. Certainly these are opinions of the writer and nothing, you know, official, nothing cast in stone, but it's basically another viewpoint.
Now, they did say on here, well, I was looking at the site, too, where they said something about why isn't he talking to his daughter on camera.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen an interview with him
mm-hmm.
looking straight into the camera and
mm-hmm.
telling them, you know, that Haley talking to his daughter. And they say in here on this site that they did, that they, in other words, they want to know how come he hasn't. But I have seen him make a plea to his daughter, telling her he's not going to
mm-hmm.
give up looking for her. That
right.
he loves her, and he will find her. But according to this website, they're trying to say that he never did do it. And I know he did. So I mean,
I saw that too.
I mean,
Mike Brookshaw on Nancy Grace, he had made the comment. He was found it interesting on the 911 call that the father said, "You all are playing games." And then Nancy Grace kind of disputed that with him. They kind of got like in this little tiff thing because she's saying, no, what do you mean? And Mike Brooks is saying, I think it's when he said you all, what kind of game are you all playing?
I didn't see that, but...
Meaning like something he was speaking to the girlfriend while he was making the 911 call.
Oh.
Okay, folks, I hate to do this, but it's that dreadful time. Our hour is up. So I want to thank our illustrious panel, my wife Jan.
Thank you.
Pickles, the show wouldn't be the same without you.
Thank you.
And Denny, it's always good to talk to you.
Well, thank you, Simon. Same here.
And I want to thank all of our callers and especially all of our listeners. This has been another in our series, The News in Review, and please check on www.bloggernews.net for more updates on both of these cases, and you can guarantee we will be back next week, same bat channel, same bat time. And so it's a goodbye from Mississippi.
Thank
you
all.
Thank you very much.
Calling in.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have a good evening.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.